Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. This is a very serious message. I want you to pay attention to it. All right? I'm going to be teaching this throughout the month. When I'm trying to lay the foundation today. Amen. You are blessed. And Jesus increased in wisdom. Can we read this together? One, two, go. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Amen. And Jesus increased in wisdom. He didn't just have wisdom. He grew in wisdom. Jesus did not just have stature. Come on, say stature. He grew in stature. He grew in stature. And Jesus did not just have favor, but he grew in favor with God. So your favor with God is expected to grow. Amen. Your favor with God is expected to grow. Your wisdom is expected to grow. You can't be thinking the way you thought in 2015 and be thinking the same way in 2016 and thinking the same way in 2017. Come on, something is not growing. Something is not growing. And he grew, and Jesus grew in stature. You can't be, the only thing that you are not, that is not expected to grow is your physical stature. You know, that one we have to do it with moderation, isn't it? Oh, yeah. I mean, towards the end of last year, my goodness, I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, man, this guy has grown in stature. I mean, I was so bloated, right? I mean, I would go to bed, wake up, and I just felt like I swallowed some football. I mean, how I felt. And I couldn't wait for the fast. Yeah, because I couldn't call the fast. I mean, you know, thank God for our beautiful ladies in the house. Someone just got to bed on us. Well, what can I feed him today? You know, right? I think they just chucking me with food all the time, you know. And then one day by December, I said, my goodness, I stood by the mirror, I took a selfie. And I looked, I said, oh my God, this guy has grown in stature. Amen. So your body shouldn't grow, that's not the kind of growth we're talking about here, but you should grow in stature, in capacity, in influence, in grace. Growth is not a gift. You must be determined to grow. Throughout this month, we're going to be looking at the anti-growth agents. We're going to be looking at anti-growth agents. We're going to be discussing the forces that limit growth. And then we're going to be praying about them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 3, verse 1 to 3. It says, now, Isaiah 5, now, let me sing to my beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in the midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, and who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? How do you build a tower? And how do you remove the stones? And how do you plant the choicest vine? And then here comes the harvest time, and he was expecting fresh grapes. And what did he find? Wild grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. Verse 3, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. Judge between me and my vineyard. When you've done all you need to do and things are not working, then you bring it to judgment. He had enough. What more could have been done to my vineyard that have not been done? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes? You see, expected it. Listen very carefully. There is growth expectation. God expects you to grow. And that's a fact. The same way you expect your children to grow, God expects you to grow. And growing or growth is your primary assignment. We don't fold our hands and just grow. That's not how it happens. No. First, there's the desire to grow. And then you must understand there are forces that tend to limit people when they plan to grow. I want you to pay attention to yourself. I want you to study yourself. I want you to study after yourself. Amen. So he said, I will take away its hedge. That is frustration. In other words, I will de-invest. And it shall be burnt and break down its wall. And it shall be trampled down. What is that? That's frustration. That's frustration. That is frustration. When you don't experience growth, you will experience frustration. That's why you must not find yourself in a corner experiencing frustration because you've not grown. Listen very carefully. There will always be challenges. But if you are growing in wisdom, you will always have a wisdom for every problem. So he said, Jesus grew in wisdom. Frustration comes when the problem outweighs the wisdom. Problem is doing 90 miles an hour. Wisdom is doing 30 miles an hour. The difference is frustration. The rate at which life throws challenges at you should not outrun the rate at which you download wisdom from heaven. And wisdom does not come to babes. So you need to grow. And you need to grow in wisdom so that as the problem is arising, the Bible says about Jesus, he said he himself knew what he would do. He said, Master, where can we find bread to feed them? We have 4,000 people here. Well, he said, what do you have? He said, I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's okay. All right. So, and the Bible says he himself knew what he would do before. So there is every challenge in life has a commensurate wisdom. But many of us have stopped growing in wisdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've stopped growing in wisdom. So let me use marriage for example, right? Since we are a family church. When you got married, so year two into that marriage, right? Things were strong. But at some point in that marriage, the couple can choose to stop growing in wisdom. They can choose to stop growing together. So all of a sudden, when issues come, there's not so much. There is no issue in a marriage that has not shown up in any marriage. He says, my mother-in-law is against me. Are you the first bride? Why is your own a big deal? So my own mother-in-law loves me. Okay, she did. Yeah, because I'm good. Yeah. So what is it? What is it? We don't have enough money. We don't have enough money. So that is a problem. You don't have enough money is a problem. Why is that a problem? Listen, there's no problem that is uncommon to man. There's nothing you will ever go through that somebody else has not gone through. Gone through, not died in. Gone through. You know what I'm saying, yeah? There's nothing you will ever go through that someone has not gone through. But it's a big issue when you are not growing. In other words, there is no commensurate wisdom to deal with the incoming attack. Does that make sense? So we then find that we are constantly unprepared. We are constantly ill-equipped. We don't even know what's against us. Do you understand? And so you need to grow. You need to grow. When you don't grow, there's frustration. Why is the man was disappointed? And why are we happy when talking about growth? Growth brings joy. Growth brings joy. Growth brings excitement. We are always excited when people grow. Are you not excited when your kids grow? I mean, you remember, you know, I saw a photograph of a kid one day, one of our grandsons here, and then he couldn't figure out himself. So when he's always crawling on his stomach, and crawling stomach, and then one day, I mean, he just couldn't coordinate himself. And he was crawling for a long time, you know, crawling on his stomach, and you could hear every time he tries to pull his body, you hear him groan. And then one day, through some miraculous intervention called growth, he figured he can be on his hands and knees. And then he took off like a bullet. I mean, you could see the joy of it. I mean, you see when the kids start growing, it's like, wow, this house. And sometimes he gets up, he tries to crawl towards a particular direction. Halfway through, he runs out of strength. And then you just stay there looking like, oh, man, I can never make that. All right, then he settled. Then he sits up. I said, okay, well, one day I'll get there, but not today. One day I'll sure get there, not today. Now, the moment he starts learning how to crawl, what is it? He starts crawling. I never knew this is like this. Oh, my goodness, they're always so excited. Now, it's not so much as the kid crawling, but their parents are happy. Why? He's growing. He's growing. And then one day, you see, the second born always walks and runs faster than the firstborn. You know why? There's an example. And then the firstborn takes off and grabs the toy. And then the secondborn tries to crawl. I mean, I can't catch up with this one. And then one day he realizes I can't stand on his 2 feet. That is the end of the reign of that firstborn. And that's why there's always a big fight. Because he's been carrying that animosity in his house for a very long time. Yeah. So the moment he can get on his 2 feet and he can fight, and you know, so. But the parents are always excited. Growth brings excitement. Growth brings excitement. Growth is not a gift. You've got to analyze, study yourself, find out whether you are stagnating, and find out whether there are forces hindering your growth in a particular area, and fight it. And fight it. So this year, we'll be celebrating our 25th year of marriage. Silver Jubilee, they call it, is it silver? Is it gold? No, silver. Silver. Well, they say it's silver, but I think I deserve gold. But, you know. In fact, they say it's silver Jubilee, but the marriage itself is platinum. I had that nailed down, platinum. Come here. Oh, yeah, thank you. All these jealous folks here and jealous. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's 25 years of intentional growth. We have faced obstacles, but we locked shoulder to shoulder, side by side, and fought our way through. And we still derive much joy now, 25 years after. It's not different from the way it was the very first year. But it's not a gift. It's not a gift. And every area of your life must be like that. Growth brings celebration. Growth brings celebration. And so you must grow financially. You must grow spiritually. Spiritually. You must grow. You must measure yourself and ask yourself, am I growing spiritually? Am I growing spiritually? Some people, instead of growing, they actually, is it receding? They call it? Yeah? Is it rescinding? Regressing. Thank you. I'm regressing. You got born again. You got born again full of fire. Hot for Jesus. Praise the Lord. You go to bed at night, you are hearing songs in your spirit. You wake up, you jump out of bed, happy that you are alive. But you couldn't maintain the growth. And so spiritually, I say, how are you now? I say, yeah. It is well. It is well. What is it as well? No. Take charge of your growth. Fight the forces that fight your growth. Listen very carefully. There will be forces that fight your growth. There will be forces that fight your growth. I'll be talking about more about that. Grow emotionally. Grow emotionally. Hey, well, listen, the Faye and courtship is not for boys. It's not for boys. Marriage is not for boys. It's for strong men and strong women. Relationship, that's when you go into courtship and marriage, that's where we separate the boys from the men. So that means that from today, you start growing emotionally. We can't be telling a 40-year-old man, why that is because my father, your father, what has the father to do? What has the father got to do with this one? You are a 40-year-old man because you've not grown. You can't be judging yourself in 2017 because of what happened in 2000 and what year? When I was a baby. Uh-huh. So what? My teacher flogged me when I was a baby. So is she still flogging you now? Is she still flogging you now? Yes, I'm like this because my mother and my father were fighting. So, because your mother and father were fighting, so must you and your husband be fighting too as well. What is that? So what is the baggage for? Look, let us speak the truth to one another. Let's speak the truth to one another. You must grow emotionally. I can't be 52 and be 5 emotionally. Height has grown. Stomach has grown. The hair grew and fell off. Right? But emotionally, I'm still a kid. When you don't grow emotionally, you bring stress to your spouse. You must grow. Bring stress to your spouse. Then you then give birth to kids. They then say, there's a father in the house. Where is the father? There's no father in the house. We just have a father figure in the house. It's a father figure. Because emotionally, he's like them too. Then the poor woman too, he said, how many kids do you have? He said, I have a... He said, can you imagine in my home now? They will ask, how many kids do you have? They will look and say, I have two, a boy and a girl. Really? Yeah, a boy and a girl. The man too, even his emotions is worse than a 5-year-old girl. You have to grow emotionally. Many years ago, I lost my company. I was an executive in a company, and I lost everything. It was so bad. I hired a stall in an open market and was trading because I refused to go back home to my parents. Can you now imagine me still carrying that baggage? I would have been a good father. if that business had worked out. If that. How do we raise a family in if that? No. You grow emotionally. It won't come easy. Because there are factors that fight growth. There are factors designed to keep you small. I will talk about that next week. Are you listening? So you must grow emotionally. You know, we're coming down from our home on Thursday. Okay. So it was snowing. It snowed. So halfway down, I fell. Don't laugh. So I fell. It was a very nasty fall. And I scraped my hand. And I got up. And they asked, how are you? I said, it's okay. It was not okay. So my skin, look at my skin. And my wife went, I said, no, it's nothing. it's nothing. So I removed, removed my skirt. Let's go to church. So I came in here and took it out on the church. Now there are people who fell. Life fell them 20 years ago. But they are still talking about as if they fell yesterday. You need to grow up emotionally. There are certain things that will never be committed into your hands until you grow emotionally. Let's say that slowly. There are certain things that will never be committed into your hands until you grow up emotionally. Grow emotionally strong. Grow emotionally strong. Now you may even be in that marriage and it goes south. Hey, it goes south doesn't mean that you go south with it. No. It's the marriage that went south, not you. But you put in the fight of your life to grow. Do you understand? To grow. And ask God for wisdom. So you grow emotionally. You grow in wisdom. Pastor, what is wisdom? It's knowing what to do at the right time. It's knowing there is a prescribed wisdom for every situation in life. There is a, listen very carefully, your God has called you and God is interested in your life. God, you are not alone. There is a prescribed wisdom for every challenge that comes your way. There is a prescribed wisdom. Your responsibility and my responsibility is to be like Christ, to grow in wisdom, to grow in stature, to grow emotionally, to be strong, to take whatever life throws at you and keep on ticking, and then grow in favor. You must grow. You must have a personal audit of your life. You must study yourself. You must appraise yourself. You must look back and draw patterns from your life and then plan a good way of life for yourself. You must grow. You must grow. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible says that, and the guy looked at his, verse 3 says, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. He said, I've had enough. I've had enough. At some point, you've got to say, I've had enough. I've had enough. And his Bible says that, and he says, judge, what more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Please, judge. So, when things don't go your way, at some point, you need to call for it to be judged in the court of prayer. That is the fight of your life. I say, I refuse, I am better than this. I refuse to allow the decision of someone to affect me. Hey, let me tell you something a little bit about my background. I know I say this all the time, but the story will still bless you. My father comes from a family. My grandmother gave birth 9 times. They all died. Only my father survived. And he was telling me about 2 or 3 years ago that that some of them died. He knew some of the of his brothers. He said the way it was with him, he would get up, he would go to school, and come back from school, and he would ask his mom, where is his brother? And then the mom would tell him, well, he's gone. So that means that he died after he went to school, and he was buried immediately. That was how one after the other, right? He became a lone child. So growing up, my father growing up psychologically associated celebration with loss. You know how it is, 8th day, you know, baby shower, naming ceremony, hey, he's got a baby, and the kid grows, and then a few years later, kid is gone. So growing up personally, I never had a party as a kid. I don't know what it means to have a party. You know when you say, well, it's a birthday party, you know? You know, like, I don't know what it means. My father never did it. I mean, I when I qualified as an accountant, right? I mean, as a professional, and that exam was it's always hard, you know. Larry, you know how it is now. I was that means that's from hell. Yeah, hell. I mean, he just couldn't. He said, "Wow, congratulations. I have a bottle of Coke in the fridge for you." I said, "Me Coke, Dad." It's Icon. Okay, there's biscuit on the table too. Now, can you now imagine me telling my kids, no party for you because my father, what is it, what's their business? I opted to fight, to grow in that area. I opted that I'm going to celebrate my children. In fact, I won't just celebrate my children. I'm going to celebrate everybody because of what I went through. And my dad is a nice guy. He turned 80 last week. Nice guy. Love him to bits. But you've got to understand his background. If you understand where he's coming from, you will know why he did what he did. But that's not me. So I made up my mind. I was going to do the exact opposite. I'm going to cheer people on. I'm going to love them. I'm going to tell them they will do well. I'm going to celebrate them. Does that make sense? I'm going to leave that baggage behind. I'm not going to bring it to my generation. Does that make sense? You got to grow emotionally. You have to. You have to. But certain things are already against you. So you judge them. You ask the same question. What should I have done that I have not done? Oh, judge between me and this matter. What should I have done about this marriage that I have not done? What should I have done about my career that I have not done? Lord, judge between me and this matter. And that is how to grow forcefully. What should I have done that I have not done? And then he called on the elders. He said, come and sit down. Let me tell you that I have bought chocolates. I've bought flowers. I've bought dresses. I've taken her on holidays. I've taken her shopping. What should I have done that I have not done? Judge between me and this marriage. But in prayers, the elders you call, they are not physical people. You call on the host of heaven. You call on the elders in heaven. You call on the 24 elders in heaven and say, judge between me and this marriage. Judge between me and this career. If I need to be retrained, I have retrained. Hey, retrained, I have retrained. If they go to school, I have gone to school. What is this thing we but on this occasion you're not successful? What must I do to be successful? What is it? Judge between me and my career. Judge between me and my career. Judge between me and my career. Praise the Lord. When your best is not good enough, you call for judgment. Not fight. When you see couples fighting each other, they don't understand. No, you don't fight. Okay, even if one of the party is deputy devil, you know they are. Just remember that at the beginning it wasn't like that. Yeah? Remember what the Bible says? While men slept, the enemy came. Hey, she's deputy devil now. But she wasn't deputy devil at the altar. At the altar, when you saw her come, you were crying. I don't remember. You know, there are some men like that. The moment you just saw that, they've not unveiled her yet. Say, why are you crying? She's so beautiful. What about my friend? Grow emotionally. Follow me. No crying on wedding day. No crying on wedding day. Yeah. We just take some men to just help. Just call all these henchmen here. Please take him to the office. Go and slap him a little. Wow, slap him. I'm bringing him back here. Praise the Lord. Amen. You must grow. You must grow. You must grow. You must grow. This church that will be celebrating 15 years in 2 weeks. few years ago, we were stuck on 25 women and 19 men. I said stuck. One person joins the church. That 25th woman will not come to church that day. The day we are supposed to be 26, one church member will opt out. I was traumatized. Every day when I get back home, I call the ushers, text me. Wait, what happened? Wait. I say, yeah. We're 19 men. But this guy is not in church today. We could have been 20. And we're like that for a long time. Now, maybe it's short, but in my mind. But just know, I mean, and I still feel traumatized by that number. 25 women and 19 men. It's stuck in my head. Go for a long time. So one day, I said, oh God, what should I do? And I said, Lord, judge between me and this church. Judge between me. What else? Love, you have loved them. Care, you have care. You preach. Pray. Midnight, wait, midnight. My name is now prayer. What would I do? I call for judgment. And God heard my cry. Many years ago, there was once upon a time in this church as well. One day I said, do visit. I'm happy visiting people, no problem. But hospital visit. One day I went to Darien Valley. In fact, it became, you know, Darien Valley was like the church hospital. A local hospital, isn't it? Because then we're in Temple Hill. Monday, Darien Valley. Tuesday, Darien Valley. Wednesday, that became a devourer. And you know those people, they don't reduce your car park. No, that's money-making machine there. Wednesday, Darien Valley. In fact, one day, I told the church member on the third floor, see you, I'm praying for you. I'll see you at the same time tomorrow, okay? Don't worry, stay there, keep it together. Don't go anywhere. Don't die on me now, all right? So Pastor, where you going? So I'll come back tomorrow and visit you. And I left the third floor, went to the second floor. Hello, how are you? Oh, Pastor, yeah, I'm just coming. Oh, wow, yeah, just going to visit you. But at the end of the day, I said, my goodness, I can't do this one. This same time next day, so as we're approaching the end of the year, I said, no, I had enough of this. I have to grow in this area. So I carried a bottle of anointing oil. One night, went to Darien Valley. They won't come here this year. In the name of Jesus, I'm not coming here this year. Hey! I will visit them in the office. I will visit them at home and they will cook for me, but not in the hospital. Oh, no. In the name of Jesus, hey! Father, judge between me and this sickness. In the name of Jesus. Don't tell stories. When you don't know what else to do, you call for judgment. Rise to your feet as you pray.